Hello, I'm Stu Sensei, and welcome to the Stu Sensei English Podcast, the place that helps you unlock your English ability. Let's crack on with the show. So, thank you so much for joining today. Great to see you. I'd love you to introduce yourself to our audience here.
Thanks for having me, Stu. My name is Dan. I'm from England, specifically from Sheffield in England. But these days, I live in Shiga, Japan, and I've been in Japan for the last 6 years or so teaching English. I enjoy music. I'm into kind of retro game stuff. And I live here with my wife and two cats. So life is pretty good. Life is pretty good. Nice to meet everyone.
100%. Nice to meet everyone. Okay, wicked. So why did you want to become a teacher?
That's a tricky question. I think I've always enjoyed helping people do something. In other jobs that I've done, I've always ended up in kind of a training role, teaching other people how to do it. And I think that's just kind of translated into becoming a teacher. I enjoy helping people. I enjoy identifying problems and how to fix them. And it's pretty cool when somebody you've taught something and then, you know, a month later you can see them using it. That's a pretty cool feeling. I like that. So I thought, teaching English seems like a pretty cool thing to do.
Yeah, I think it's obviously a great job to do. Like you say, it's great for many people, isn't it? You can help many people at the same time.
It's cool as well because, it's cool at the same time because from a selfish standpoint, I get to meet a lot of cool people. Like, I'm not just, you know, in an office talking to the same four people every day. I'm meeting a lot of people from different, you know, backgrounds, different countries. And on a kind of selfish level, that's really cool for me. I enjoy that.
100%. Yeah, I can see that completely. Yeah, I obviously do the same thing. I teach online and teach everywhere around the world. So It's great meeting people from different cultures, you know. So It's good. But, you know, teaching lessons is very different to teaching on social media, which obviously you do. Yeah. So why? What inspired you to do it?
Well, that's also kind of interesting. I think, like a lot of us, the pandemic was a big spark for like, okay, stuff has got to change. Like, the days of being in the classroom and people coming to you are not necessarily going to be around forever, right? And when, you know, in our industry, that's how it always was. You're in a classroom, the students come to you, and then, you know, as technology's got better, so online teaching has become more and more prevalent. However, the pandemic really sparked that, okay, I want to learn from my house. And everybody uses social media, you know, everybody's on Twitter or Instagram or whatever it is, everybody's on something. And being able to very quickly just teach somebody something in an entertaining way, I think is really interesting. And I wanted to be a part of it. I'd already done social media stuff before. You know, I've been doing YouTube videos about life in Japan for years, and it kind of, an easy transition when I thought, okay, I want to do more online stuff. It was kind of an easy transition over to, you know, Instagram or Twitter or whatever. Completely different in retrospect. Like, the stuff that works in an online class does not work on, you know, Instagram or whatever. But it's fun to learn it as well. Like, I'm learning a lot doing that. Like, what works and what doesn't work. And the main thing is you've got to be entertaining. Like, everybody's attention these days is like nanoseconds. If you don't grab that person straight away, you're getting nothing. So,
yeah, 100%. It helps you, doesn't it, as a teacher, I think, because it makes you think of other ways to show something, not the traditional methods, you know, standing in front of a whiteboard or anything like this. You have to think quickly, I think, with social media teaching. Sure. And get your point across quickly and in the simplest manner. So I think it can do an amazing thing for your own skill set as a teacher, you know.
You learn how to explain something complicated in 10 seconds, then you're pretty good at explaining that thing, right?
If you can get that over. Because you have to adjust it in your mind and everything,
Yes,
don't you?
yeah.
So.
And I think the other thing it taught me, like I already knew, but I didn't really understand. As much as you can, show, don't tell. Like, don't explain why something is this way. Show them. Like, use an example, use a fake conversation. Like, show the situation rather than say what the situation is. That you don't have time. Like, you don't have time. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting as well.
Obviously, it also helps you learn new skills. So, what kind of new skills have you gained from social?
Well, from the production standpoint, like I've got so much better at filming and scripting and editing and putting everything together. And that's still a learning curve. I've never really studied it, so to speak. I just kind of try something new. Okay, that works. Okay, that doesn't work. So I learned a lot of skills in terms of production. Learning how to kind of automate your workflow as well. Like, for people like us, like we put out a lot of content across lots of different social platforms. And that's the name of the game. You have to do that. And you, like us, it's what we work. You know, this is not a full-time gig. So being able to kind of fit that around what you're doing in your daily life and still be consistent taught me a lot about scheduling and stuff like that. And then in terms, like we said, of actually how you present a point or how you present an idea as quickly as possible, that takes a lot. If I go back and look at the first kind of online videos I made last year, they're so boring. Like, why did I think anybody was gonna watch that?
But we
But
have to
yeah.
start somewhere, you know. It
Oh,
can't.
yeah.
And the thing is, any kind of content is good, actually. There's always someone that gets something from it. It's just we also need to learn about, you know, being in front of the camera and listening to our voice and trying to project to so many people. Someone's eventually going to say something that you maybe don't like. You're thinking of all these things, so try and be very conservative at the start, I think, is the best way to put it, traditional ways.
Don't put yourself out too much because then somebody might say something like so. But nowadays, I don't really care. What we do is not for everyone. So somebody's not gonna like it, and that's fine. Just accept that. People are not gonna like it. That's fine.
Do you have any advice for anyone who wants to become a teacher?
You've got to ask yourself if it's really what you want. I notice a lot of people use English teaching as a tool to be able to travel to other countries, right? They don't actually care about being a teacher. They just like, oh, I can go live in Japan, or I can go live in, Brazil, or wherever they want to go live. And that's a tool. Oh, that gives me something I can do while I'm there. And they don't actually care about teaching. And that's what it is. Like, I'm not going to judge anybody for doing that, right? However, if you want to actually teach people, it's not the same as speaking the language. You've got to learn teaching, right? And that's not easy. So you've really got to ask yourself, is this what I want to do? Because it takes commitment, it takes a lot of time and effort. And some days, as I'm sure you'll agree, it's not easy. And to be able to do that, like a thing that I really struggled with is you can't show your real emotions or, if you're having a bad day, you can't show that. You've got to like drop that baggage at the door and become that smiley teacher. And not everybody can do that. And it is tough, but it is one of the most rewarding jobs that you're ever going to have. Like when you can see that what you're doing is helping somebody and they're progressing towards their goals and their dreams because of something you've done, that's awesome. That is really awesome. So that's what I would say. Ask yourself if it's for you. And if it is for you, like my mom always said, like, don't be a crap teacher. There's too many. If you're going to be a teacher, be a good one. Learn, always learn, and keep trying to get better.
Some people say, it's better not to be half pregnant, you know.
Yeah.
Go the full way for sure.
Yeah. If you're gonna do it, you may as well do it, right?
100%. So, obviously, like we were talking about in Japan, many students know a lot of things, but when it comes to speaking, perhaps they're not so sure about themselves. How much of a role can confidence have in a conversation, do you think?
When you're learning a language, confidence is a big thing because nobody likes making mistakes, right? Nobody's like, yes, I made a mistake in that conversation. But it is completely natural, and your confidence shouldn't be tied to being perfect, right? Because that idea of being perfect doesn't exist. Even if you go through this podcast, two native speakers having a conversation, there are mistakes in here. There are grammar mistakes, there are wrong choice of word, maybe the way that I've said something is not by the book, but it's understandable, right? So your confidence should be tied to, did that other person understand what I'm saying? Like, is the message getting across? And if it is, understanding that you've just communicated that in a language that is not your first language, that's awesome. That is a skill that a lot of people on this planet cannot do. And that is really cool. And if that doesn't make you feel confident, there's not a lot of things that are going to make you feel confident in this world. And I think having that self-confidence that, oh, I did do that. That was me. I can do that. That's cool. And I think as teachers, we play a role in that as well. We definitely need to create an environment and a lot of positive reinforcement to help build that confidence when somebody's starting, but it's not something that we can do for them. Like, they need to learn that on their own. But it is really important because if you're confident, you're going to be more willing to speak to other people. If you're not confident and it's a challenge to speak to somebody, you're naturally going to not do that if you get a choice. So confidence is a tool that is part of language learning to help you grow and get better. So it is very, very important.
How do you think we can improve our confidence in terms of conversation?
Like anything, is do it more. Think about like when you first learned to ride a bike. You didn't just get on the bike and ride it. You know, at first, maybe your mom or your dad or whatever was holding you on the bike, and then you had the little stabilizer things so you could not fall over. And then eventually the stabilizers come off, and you've built enough confidence and muscle memory at that point to kind of do it on your own. And that staged approach is important for learning a skill like this. At first, you know, your teacher and you are going to work together to, I'm going to hold your hand in that conversation, so to speak. And then we're going to kind of take me a little bit out of the equation, but you've got some structure that you can fall back on. And then eventually you're going to be able to do it on your own. And don't ever expect as a student to go from 0 to 100. You're going to go from 0 to 5, and then 5 to 10, and then 10 to whatever. And not rushing, take your time. Slowly try new things. Slowly acquire more knowledge. And I think the best thing you can do is enjoy it. Like, a lot of people don't focus on that enough. It's not supposed to be boring and difficult and terrible. It's supposed to be fun. Some days it's not. But for the most part, you're supposed to enjoy it. You're not doing it to make yourself miserable staring at a textbook. So, yeah, kind of enjoy it. Enjoyment will breed confidence because you like it. And it's going to be a circle that kind of completes itself. So in terms of specific things, don't rush. Try to learn from your mistakes and enjoy it. That's generally what I would think. How about you, Stu? What do you think about that?
So yeah, I obviously we can only improve it by doing. It's the same with every skill we ever do, like throwing a ball or kicking a ball. I always refer to sport, but maybe even writing. So writing's a really good example because if I write with my right hand, obviously I'm highly skilled. But if I write with my left hand, same muscles, but completely different result. And that's just because of what experience. So I feel very confident when I write with it. When I do it with this, I'm like, oh, it's going to be a bit of a mess for sure. I know beforehand. So I already am thinking I'm going to fail. This is not going to be good. I'm thinking that straight away. So that's just generally what we do when we feel weak at anything. And we have to do it more so that we don't really see the process so clearly. I think we're speaking in comparison to writing or vocabulary or reading. You could see it there in front of you, the results of what you've done. Whereas with speaking, the process of improving, I think, can get lost sometimes. So if I was going to give any tip, I would suggest to someone, they have to record themselves speaking so they can see the difference over a year, 6 months even, you know. So I think it's important.
Like, conversations don't have a rewind button, right? You can't just go back and see what's going on. And this is a good point that you just brought up, actually. It's like, it's very hard for you to see your own improvement in real time, because it's your voice, you're always hearing it. So for you, there's no difference between 1 year ago and now. However, if it's like when you haven't seen somebody for a year, and like, they look very different, maybe they've like lost weight, or, you know, something's happened since the last time you saw them, you notice because you've got the before and the after. Maybe they didn't notice because it's been such a gradual thing day on day. And recording the audio and listening back to 1 year ago, that's going to make a huge difference. A couple of students that I teach do like a video diary every day. And they'll record like a video diary, you know, just like, you know, 1 minute, 2 minutes, or today I ate spaghetti or whatever. But to be able to go back to the first one from like the 100th one, there's a huge difference. And I think that's kind of a cool thing that more people should think about doing. You don't need to do it publicly. You don't need to put it on YouTube or whatever. But have it for yourself, I think, is a great thing to do. Yeah, I think that's really cool.
And you said a good thing there, where you said about there's no rewind button on a conversation. And I think that people forget that, because they assess conversations so much, you know. Making one error in a conversation can, for them, be... they failed the conversation. But no, because you failed in terms of maybe a grammatical principle that maybe you want to improve and become more consistent on, so you're clearer. But in terms of a conversation, the whole thing, did you communicate with the person? Did they understand it? Were you able to get your point across? How much were you to understand? We should take all of that into consideration in terms of you know, the conversation itself, and was it successful? The communication is the key thing. And we never remember anything that goes on, just the key points. Like, that's why spoken English, we normally repeat ourselves with certain words. Like, I don't know what you use for great, but I use like lush or wicked. I always use those two words. And I might say, oh, that's lush. And then he's a lush person as well. And, you know, you repeat this thing. In a book, you could never do that. But spoken English, you do. It's because we don't remember. Our brain cannot remember all of that data, you know. So
For sure. It's fun. I think, like, definitely spoken English is it's its own beast. And it shouldn't be assessed in the same way that written English is in a test. Like, it's a separate beast. Treat it differently. And go with it. Don't worry too much is the best thing.
100%. Anyway, thank you so much for your time. I don't want to waste any more of your day.
You're a waste. It's fine. It's always a pleasure, Stu.